Today on Real Radio.
The father looks down and says, "That's Jack, washed in the blood of my son, clothed in righteousness. God sees me as though I had never sinned." The term is justification. I don't get it, but I'm going to keep my mouth shut and enjoy it.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his verse-by-verse series through the New Testament narrative written by Luke. We're examining the part of chapter 15 that features one of the Messiah's most well-known parables, that of the prodigal son. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, continuing in his mini-series called Christian, Come Home.
He said, "I'll never leave you or forsake you." But when you run off and do your own thing in this life, guess what happens? The Holy Spirit just begins to quiet down. He begins to become, as it were, a shut-in in the heart of your life. And he's not speaking. He's not talking. You might say, "Well, God's not answering my prayers anymore." That may be true. He's waiting for you to come back to him. Now, note this. This is one of the most tender things in all of the Bible, in my opinion. Verse 20, and why we need to draw near to him, because this young man in the parable draws near to his father. It says, but when he was still a great way off. Church, help me out here. Who is a great way off? The son is. Well, technically, if the son is a great way off, then the father's a great way off, right? Watch what happens. Number one, mark it in your Bible. While he was a great way off, number one, his father saw him. He didn't see his father. His father saw him. Number two, and his father had compassion on him. Number three, his father ran to him. Number four, it's his father who fell on his neck. Number five, it's his father who kissed him. Do you see the power in this? Christian, come home. The God of heaven and earth, he sees you. You're so funny. He strayed away. I'm going to go into this other town and do, I'm going to do mischief. I'm going to be naughty. Nobody will know. Are you silly? Christian, God can see you from afar off. Hey, he's saying to you, what are you doing over there? This man is repentant, coming home, heading back a far, long way off, and the father sees him. Don't you think that's significant? I'm not reading too much into this. It would presuppose that the father's scanning the horizon for his son coming. How often? How many hours in a day the father's looking? Maybe the father's dealing with his employees and taking care of his ownership of things. But when a parent's heart is broken and their child is wayward, their heart is fixed on the horizon. And that horizon could be the ringing of a phone. It could be the driving by of a car. Or it could be the sound of your voice and the parents looking, longing, and waiting. You say, "Not my parent, Jack. We ended our relationship in a very bitter way." Let me tell you something. That parent is looking and waiting. And this parent is looking. This father saw his son from afar off. And that's an awesome thing. He had compassion, ran, fell on his neck, and kissed him. And what cracks me up about this is, how is it that the old man could recognize the son so far away? We know this. He wasn't wearing the same clothes. Whatever he went and bought and spent all his money on fine living, now he's probably, remember, he worked for a pig farmer and he's been sleeping and slopping the pigs. So his clothes are probably filthy and stinky. We know this, that he's smelling like a pig. How does a parent recognize, and how does God recognize you and I when we're so far from home? Listen, only a parent, listen, kids, you don't have any idea. If you don't have older children, you don't know what I'm talking about, but I'm telling you right now, a parent, by the design of God, their kids can be dressed up in a Halloween outfit, and a parent can tell. First of all, God gave all mothers eyes in the back of their head. Look back there when they're sleeping. You'll find something, I'm sure. But there's something. The father's looking on the horizon, and maybe it's the gait in his son's walk. Maybe it's a limp, or maybe it's a certain way that that kid, that boy, hangs his head. I don't know what it is, but it's unique, and a parent knows that. A parent can spot their kid a mile away. That's why you're always getting in trouble. How did mom know? Psalm 73:28 says, it is good for me to draw near to God. James 4:8 says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. And Jeremiah 29:12-14 says, you will call upon me and go and pray to me and I will listen to you. And listen, you will seek me and find me when you have searched for me with all of your heart, and I will be found by you, saith the Lord. God, look at, he's saying like this, come on, chase me, will ya? Come on, son. Come on, daughter. Come back, he's saying. Stop living the way that you're living. And everything about this parable is a declaration of affirmation. This boy's coming back. He's saying, I'll just be happy to eat what my dad's servants eat. I'll be happy to be hired as one of his servants. Notice this. The father has expressed the fact that he saw the son. He had compassion on the son. He ran to the son. He fell on the son's neck and he kissed the son. You guys, everything here that the father does is what the son should have done to the father. And what a divisive thing that is for many relationships today. Nope, my son ran out on me. I'll teach him. And you've got, listen, dad, you've got your wall built up. And after all, you are the dad and you brought him into the world. And you'll teach him a lesson or two. Let me tell you something. It's not worth it. If your son's coming home and he's broken and his heart has been touched and he's saying, dad, I'll be happy just to take out the trash in your home. Just let me back in. Listen, my friend, I got some advice, dad. Look at your son, have compassion on your daughter, run to your boy, fall on her neck and kiss him. You are a picture in front of their mind, no matter how old you get and how old they get. You are a picture of God to them. You are dad, and that will never change. And I know all the pain that surrounds all of that stuff. God loves the family. We've made it a mess. God designed it. We thought we could do it better. Affirmation. Every child, listen, every son and daughter always looks to the crowd to see if dad is watching. Did you know that? Do you remember that? It doesn't matter if there's 10,000 people in the crowd. Did my dad see me? Listen, those of you who have kids in athletics, sports, whatever it might be, any sort of competitions, whatever it might be, you know what? You go to those games and you be the most big mouth, loud, obnoxious parent possible. That's my boy! That's my boy! You see the kid who just fumbled? That's my kid! What a fumble that was! That's my girl. Look at her. She fell off the balance beam. Nobody can do it as gracefully as my daughter can. Love them. They're looking to the crowds to see. And this young man's coming back. No doubt his chin is against his chest. But his father looks to him. And every kid wants to see their father's face. And then compassion. That's that form of tenderness that can only come from a dad. Moms have compassion. It's amazing. Moms say things like this. Did you fall down and hurt your knee? Come here. Come here. Let me kiss that knee. Is it better now? And all that stuff. And there's nothing. Mom's compassion is the best. It hurts here too. And right there. Moms are the best. And then the great thing about moms is, are you okay? Here, eat this Twinkie. You'll feel better. A mom's compassion is the best. But it's not the only compassion that a child should have. A kid needs a mom and a dad, and a kid needs a dad's compassion too. And a dad's compassion is, son, come here, what'd you do? Dude, that is some skinned up knee. That looks awesome, come here. Let me take a look at that. Wow. I remember I skinned my knee like that, come here. And you rub him, you scratch his back, and you say, Lord, bless his boo-boo, make it feel better. Just touch him right now and get back out there in that game. You're doing great. Kids love that. They get all smooched up by the mom, and they just get that kind of thing that only a dad can do. And then this man ran to his boy. The father ran to the sinning son. The sinning son should have ran to the father and said, "Man, you know what? I wouldn't blame if you hung me." The father runs. You say, "Well, I don't care about that, so what's the big deal?" I tell you what the big deal is. The big deal is in the Middle Eastern culture, no father runs toward his son. Did you know that? No father in the Middle East runs towards his kids. It's against the rules. It's a cultural thing of respect. The father, in fact, you read it in the Bible, the father is to sit in the gates of the city, make all the big decisions. But you do not stoop to that level of expressing such emotion. This father picks up his robe and he runs. Everybody in the audience, when Jesus delivered this message, had to flip because they're hearing him say, "We know what you're doing. You're talking about God in heaven rolling up his robe and running down from the heavens to rescue us." They knew exactly what he was talking about. It's awesome. He fell on his neck. That's an expression of deep emotional appreciation. Displayed, and he kissed him, which is a declaration of affirmation or welcome. Compassion comes this way, verse 21, when we make confession to him. God wants us to confess our sins to him. The young man says, and the son said to him, the father, watch this, quote, "I have sinned," watch this, "I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son." That's kind of sweet, you guys, because verse 21 is what he rehearsed in verse 18. And he did it. By the way, the word is homologeo, confession. Homo, same. Legeo, word. The young man said the same thing about what had happened. In other words, "Father, I was an absolute bonehead in running away from home. I've done the wrong thing. I deserve to be your slave. You shouldn't forgive me. You owe me nothing." And the father would have gone, "You're exactly correct. I agree." Homologeo. Your confession is accurate. By the way, when you and I sin, and every time I say that, the sanctuary gets quiet. Every time, year after year, when I say that word like that, sin. Yeah, you know what? Today when you have an irritating thought and you snap at your dog or you bite your cat or you say something mean to your wife, that's sin, you know. "What are you talking about? Leave me alone. I'm tired." Hey, calm down. You're supposed to say, "Hey, Junior, wife, honey, kitty, cat, dog, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have done that." That's confession. You know what you do when you confess, when I confess, it's saying an agreement. What hurt them you're in agreement with? "You know what, I shouldn't have said that. I hurt you and I'm sorry. Will you please forgive me?" God help the man or woman who's too proud to ask for forgiveness. You're dead while you're still alive, and that's a pathetic place to be. There's nothing more arrogant in this world than for somebody who cannot ask for forgiveness when they've hurt someone else. It is horrible. Ek homologeo is out of the same word. Confession comes. And that's an important thing. Jesus said in Matthew 18:15, mark it down, this is a big one. "Moreover, if your brother," or how about this, "if someone sins against you," he said, "go and tell him his fault between you and him alone." Listen, do you want to know why we don't see miracles and God moving powerfully in our lives and in our churches? Jesus said, if somebody upsets you and you get angry at them, go tell them face to face by yourself alone. Do you know if you don't obey that and you tell one person, other than the right person, it is called gossip, and God says, "I hate it, and I'll judge it." So somebody can hurt you. You go around and tell everybody about it, okay, and you never go to them, and your sin will be judged worse than their sin. Did you know that? "Well, he hurt me, and I'm going to call my friends, and I'm going to ask them to pray for me. Hi, Susie, will you pray for me? You know what Bob did to me? He said this, and he did that." That's gossip. And God will judge you for that stuff. "Yeah, but what do you mean I'm a Christian? What do you mean judge me?" You're a Christian But God will judge us for that stuff. It's called gossip. He says, I hate it, and it destroys people. What am I supposed to do? If you're upset with somebody or if somebody's upset with you, you're supposed to not say a word about it and go straight to them and say, you know what, did I understand this right? Did you call me a bonehead? Yes, I did. Why'd you call me a bonehead? Talk about it. Work it out. But no, people go on Jerry Springer program. And the church is poisoned today because of that stuff. Horrible. Confession. This man's confessing the truth. I did not do this right, Father. And then third and final point, we end with this. Christian, come home because of this. Blessings return. I love verses 22 to 24. We'll come screaming across the finish line. This is fun stuff. This is hard to say. You see that, at least in the King James Bible, you see verse 22, you see the word but. Can you highlight it, circle it, mark it, draw circles around it? It's very powerful. The Father said to his servants. Do you know what the word there implies? The but implies that while the Son was confessing, does not God know your thoughts from afar off, says the Bible? Does not the Bible say that he knows what's in us before we say it? The Father interrupts the Son and cuts him off and turns to his servants. And what does he say? He says, get me the best robe. By the way, that's the Father's robe. The best robe's the dad's robe. This is the robe. Get me the robe that I wear at the city council meetings. When I go to the city gate to make judgments for the town we live in, get me the robe of authority. Get me the robe that causes people to know my status in life. Is this not awesome? He says, get that one for my boy. Is this not what Jesus did for us? He dressed us, clothed us in his righteousness. It's hard for us to fathom this, but according to the Bible, the same righteousness that Christ is has been imputed to us, and God agrees. The Father looks down and says, that's Jack, washed in the blood of my Son, clothed in righteousness. God sees me as though I had never sinned. The term is justification. I don't understand it. I don't get it. I don't agree with it, but I'm going to keep my mouth shut and enjoy it. That is pure biblical Christian theology from the Bible. And this man is waking up to the fact that how in the world can blessings come to my life when I've been such a bad man? Because, my friend, God doesn't grade that way. And it's not that God is unjust. It's called grace and mercy. He doesn't bypass our sins. He forgives our sins. Now you and I will have to reap of our sins. If you go lick that wall socket over there, you're going to get hurt. You'll suffer the ramifications of it. We'll forgive you for having done it, but you're going to have curly hair and a black sooted face with sparks flying off of it, you know. I never should have done that. That's called repentance. Good job, you're learning. This is very, very vital. Number one, this way, you guys. Verse 22 teaches us that blessings begin to return. But the Father said to the servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him. Well, you and I don't deserve that, do we? He didn't deserve it. We don't deserve it. But we're so undeserving. I know. It's true. Verses 22 to 23, blessings return. But we're so unworthy. Don't you think this guy felt unworthy? Oh, yeah. Verse 22 goes on, and he said, put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet and kill the fatted calf. In other words, we're having the barbecue that we've been talking about all year. We're going to have it now. And number two, by the way, can you put some sandals on his feet? Why is that important? Why is it stated? Because no slave in that culture is allowed to wear sandals. This is an announcement. My boy's home, and he's no slave. And then look at the ring. The ring was the authority. Through the ring, you did transactions. You embossed or stamped that ring upon legal documents. As unworthy as the boy was, he was accepted back. Isn't that what the Bible tells us? That when someone in this church or a Christian has sinned, that we're supposed to receive them back? They repent and ask God to forgive them? What's the believer to do? We are to accept them back and strengthen them and encourage them. And finally, we end right here, verses 23 to 24. I love it. Blessings return, my friend, because we are so loved, we don't even get it. Christians, church, listen. We are so loved, and we don't even recognize it the slightest. Jesus is saying, here's the deal in heaven when someone comes home. Let us be merry. Let us eat and be merry. For this son of mine who was dead and is alive again. And he was lost, now he's found. And they began to make merry. Isn't that incredible? I find that wonderful. Because sin kills us. But when forgiveness is extended, life begins. It's time for you to forgive your mom. It's time for you to forgive your dad. It's time for you to forgive your kids. And here's the amazing thing. We have so many followed for this demonic deception. The temptation is this: I will not forgive them. My friend, who do you think you're hurting? Have you been fooled? Did you think that by you withholding forgiveness, you're hurting them? You stepped right into Satan's trap. They're out having a great time. God gave us the ability to forgive someone so we could be set free. And I end with a story. It's an old story. You've all heard it 1,000 times. It's a great story, though. It comes out of central Mexico, I don't know how long ago. But a father and his son had a horrific parting of the ways that led to a big rift in the family. And this is a true story. Some years that now had gone by, the father was getting up in age, tried every way to reach out and find his son. No success. In his last ditch of desperation, the father ran ads, newspaper ads, in all the newspapers of the local villages all around that region. And the ad said the same thing. Pablo, all has been forgiven. Please come back home. If you are willing, meet me next Sunday afternoon at the plaza. Love, your papa. It was all over the towns and villages. Next Sunday, meet me at the plaza. Well, not only did Pablo show up on that Sunday at noon in the plaza, but over 100 Pablos showed up at noon at the plaza. There were 100 other Pablos looking for their father's forgiveness. And my friend today, listen, Christian, you've been away from God. Time's running out, and I know time's running out. I see the clock. I'm not talking about this time. I'm talking about it's almost up. The Lord's coming back. And you're not ready. Christian, get home now. And then those of you, maybe you're not a Christian today. You need to accept Christ today. You need to come back to the one who made you. You're never going to be happy until you come back to the one who made you.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, in a presentation taken from a section of Luke chapter 15, where Jesus tells of the prodigal son. It's actually a mini-series as we journey verse by verse through this New Testament historical narrative written by Luke, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, this mini-series is actually available in a 4-DVD set. It's called Christian, Come Home. If you've been thinking about that friend or loved one while listening to Pastor Jack and wish that they could hear the series, well, it's yours for a contribution of any size to Real Radio. Just ask for it by name, Christian, Come Home. There's more than one way to contribute to Real Radio. First, visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Our toll-free number, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can easily be found at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.